This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it is 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Lake Houston now. Let's check in with our good friend, Mr. John Littleton, see what he's up to. John, good morning. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Captain. Oh, not a whole heck of a lot. Just sitting here listening to you guys.
Well.
Yep. On that Neil guy you were talking with Brian about, have you ever eaten any of that?
No, I never have. I think I had some sausage off one time. Somebody had some sausage made, but no, I hadn't. I've never really got into eating one. I've never shot one, so.
Yeah. My neighbor last year, his boss went somewhere and killed one, and I was talking with him, and he said, man, let me give you some of that meat. And so he gave me some three packs of it, like, you know, that just some like roast and a couple things of backstrap.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it tastes a lot like deer. I mean, you know, I cooked it the same way you cook a deer roast or anything else, you know. It was good. It, you know, but he said that was a giant, you know. It's like shooting a cow.
They're big animals. You know? It's like shooting a horse.
Yeah.
They're big, man.
Yeah, but he didn't kill it. But you know, anyhow, it was pretty good. I still got one pack. I forgot all about it till you know, you and Brian were talking about it. I'll have to get that out and cook it up. But yeah.
Well, you gonna take your granddaughter on youth weekend?
We're gonna leave today. Grandma's let me sneak her out of school around 12 today, so we're going to head up. You know, somebody told me yesterday that they actually could hunt today.
I think you're right. I think they can. They get 3 days.
Yeah, I didn't really. I mean, I read over the rules and stuff, but, you know, we should get up there by 3:30, and I wanted to just go and pull the cards and kind of see what's coming in and, you know, everything. And heck, I'm going to recheck that, but we might just sit this afternoon, you know, and see what's coming in, and then naturally hunt tomorrow and tomorrow afternoon, and then come back home. So
today's the 25th, and that's when you season North and South Zone, October 25th through the 27th.
Well, that's
three
good.
Days.
We'll
yeah.
do that then.
Cool.
Yeah, maybe she'll drop one this afternoon. We got a couple little ones, but I tell you, Mickey, it's been so dry.
Right.
You know, we got a little creek, about 70 yards that run behind one of the feeders, and that creek is dry as a bone. And normally them deer will follow that creek.
Sure.
And then to go down, you know, and then they'll come up and eat that corn. I don't have a lot of acorn trees around there, so, you know, they'll come up and eat that corn, but there's no water in that creek. So, you know, they're venturing off into drinking out of some of them farm ponds, you know, around the area. We don't have a farm pond right there. We got some farm ponds on the other piece of property we hunt, but not on that one. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. We're going to go and check it out and see what's happening anyhow. So, who knows? They, you know, I think the deer might be coming in to rut a little bit even, you know, already. So, I know I've heard of other guys around us that are seeing, you know, does chasing. They've been bow hunting. So, you know, they've been seeing bucks chasing, you know, already. So, we shall see. But fishing's been kind of slow, Mickey. I hadn't been. I did talk to some guys yesterday, and they still catching quite a few bass. You know, and they said what's amazing is, you know, just about anywhere on the lake you can see 2 foot deep. So that's amazing for Lake Houston.
Yes, that's clean. You know, Lake Houston, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, and the lake's staying. You know, I didn't check the water level this morning, but the lake looks like I drove over it yesterday afternoon, and you know, the lake looked normal as far as pool. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to have to get out there. Somebody sent me a text about a little tournament on the 10th of November. So I might, you know, I don't know. I might venture out and just go fish it. It depends on, you know, hunting. But I'm not real enthused right now. I'm not seeing the animals that I want to shoot. So I'm not, you know, I mean, a little bit later, you know, I think we get a few rains, get some of them deer, you know, moving around in those creek bottoms a little bit. It'll help out. But, heck, who knows?
It's a dry October, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All the coyotes are coming out of the wilderness, coming into our areas, neighborhoods out there on the bay looking for water, man, food and water.
Yeah. Yeah. They're bad. Did I send you that picture of that bobcat?
No, I don't think you did. If you did, I missed it.
I'll have to send it to you. Because, I mean, we got a huge bobcat. That sucker is, man, it's big. It's big as a coyote. You know, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's out. You know, of course, I got a bunch of raccoons eating corn under the feeders, and I'm sure it's out there trying to get at one of them raccoons or something, you know.
Be a nice meal
but,
for him.
Yeah. I've seen it 3 times. On camera, and then a buddy of mine that hunts there on the property with us, he actually saw it when he was going back to work on his spinner motor. He actually saw it.
Yeah.
So he said it's huge, but he didn't have
territory.
You know, I'm sure he had his pistol or something, you know, but he didn't have a gun or anything to shoot it with. So, you know, he just said he just saw it, you know, I guess he spooked it or whatever. But anyhow. But now the guys are saying fishing's been, you know, pretty good. They're catching some bass and, you know, a little bit of, I'm sure, you know, the guys are still catching the crappie and, you know, catfish out there. I just haven't been, and, you know, trying to get ready for hunting season. And, you know, it just seems like every time you turn around, something comes up. So,
yeah.
But, you know, got busy. And that big four-letter word called work is, you know, I don't know. I'll tell you, I came back from Louisiana yesterday, Mickey, and I don't know. I got hung up on I-10.
Oh,
they had I-10 shut down. And it took me 6 hours and 37 minutes to get home, and normally it takes me about an hour and 45 minutes.
That's terrible.
So, to come from Lake Charles to yeah. my house. 6 hours and 37 minutes.
Well, I tell you, I-10, like, when it can cause some problems.
Well, and it was somewhere around the line, the Texas line and Orange in that area.
Yeah.
And the police actually in, what's that first little, Vinton, had the I-10. They were routing everybody off the freeway. Mm-hmm. And you got to imagine, now you take all them vehicles and big semis off of the freeway and put them on a two-lane little road going through neighborhoods.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It was horrible. It was horrible. I was so glad, though, because I didn't stop and get lunch, but one of my vendors over there had brought me some fresh boudin, and so I was going to bring it home and eat it, you know, this weekend, and it didn't make it home, put it that way.
Well, nowadays when you're making a little trip like that, you just never know. Take your little survival kit and the truck with you.
Yeah.
You know how long you're going to be in there. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's always been one of our safety. Yeah, that's always been one of our safety topics, you know, especially in the summer, you know, keep people taking vacations and driving is, you know, pack you a little 4 or 5 bottles of water and some snacks.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
In the rainy season, carry a life jacket with you in your car, too.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I bet there's a lot of people who wish they'd have had one.
Yeah. I know it. It can get pretty bad. So yeah, I've got it. Speaking of life jacket, I've got a couple I gotta work on that they popped. They got so hot. That's the only thing I can figure out is they got so hot inside of my rod boxes where I keep them in my boat, they exploded. They went off. And, you know, they didn't get wet, so it had to be, they were so hot.
Oh, but they were the inflatable ones? Yeah, the
onyx. I need to get a couple of them cylinders and change those out, them ready.
They just
I like
aired up.
Yeah, they aired up. Yeah.
Let the air out, put a new cylinder in, go for it again, brother.
Yeah. I think I'll start maybe keeping them in my garage or something, and then just throw them in my boat when I get ready to go. I don't know. Just now, I won't need to.
I know. And the bad thing about that is, a lot of times you'll forget them, and boy, then you get caught on the water without them. Bad deal.
Yeah, I always keep a couple throw down. I call them life jackets in the boat, anyhow. You know. So I mean. I got a couple extra life jackets in there.
Yeah.
It's the old school ones, you know, that buckle and zip up and
right.
weigh about 10 pounds. And
yeah, I got those big old bulky ones with a reflector on them and all that. And there's not a lot of space for them. They're big and bulky, but they'll save your life.
Yeah.
Slip
oh, yeah,
on.
You got to have them. Yeah, you got never know. You know, you hear these.
Well, it's better to have them and not need them than to not have them and need them. So,
well, yeah.
It's one of those deals, kind of like carrying a gun.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's, you know. Yeah. But anyhow, we're going to go and.
Well, I wish you the best. I hope your granddaughter sees her a nice deer and gets her one. Youth weekend. Take advantage of it.
She's pumped up.
I bet
she is. She's ready.
Cool.
He is ready.
All right, John.
We'll go see what we can put on the ground.
Throw them out a number. Somebody wants to give you a call, my friend.
Sure. They can always call me on my cell, 281-222-8544.
Just all right, buddy.
Give me a call or shoot me a text.
All right. Well, good luck this weekend. Send me a picture if she gets one, bud.
Oh, I will. Yeah.
Okay, John.
Oh, yeah. She'll have it everywhere. Yeah.
There you go. All right, man.
Yeah.
Hey, good talking to you, John. You have a good weekend. Have fun.
You too, Mickey.
All right. All right. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 518 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Texas City and check in with our good friend, Mr. Dave Fremont, see how he's doing this morning. Good morning, Dave. How's it going, bud?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Doing A-OK.
A-OK. I like hearing that.
Yeah. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it is. Well, I got a lot of text. Everybody missed you.
Well, probably it was bill collectors and the sheriff and yeah. For the most part. I'm glad I dodged them. But, yeah, it's just been kind of moving kind of slow this last month. Everything was going pretty smooth. Of course, most folks that I hang with and you and others know that I've had a problem with my hearing for some time. I lost most of it over the years working out there at the plant around those gas turbines and high-pressure boilers and such. It's just a casualty of war. But then a lot of my buddies also lost most of their hearing that I worked with out there. Even doing with all of the hearing protection and sometimes double hearing protection, just some people's ears are more sensitive, and I work with some other guys that they can still hear a pin drop. But you know, I went many years with hearing aids and kind of got by, but about the last 5 years at least, it's been a real chore. My poor wife has had a heck of a time. She was thinking it was selective hearing. I just didn't want to hear it when I didn't want to. But it finally got so bad, she said, I don't think it's selective anymore. So I went through the research to get towards a cochlear implant. A couple of my friends that I did work with over the last 4 or 5 years, they had the surgery and actually did pretty well with their ears that were pretty much shot. And so I bit the bullet and went through the whole gamut, had some snags along the way. It was actually about a 1 year process of finally getting the surgery done. But here about a month ago, I had it done. And one of the side effects with some people is having a lot of vertigo, dizziness and such. And I just happened to be one of the lucky ones that got that. So I hadn't been able to drive for about a month and wasn't able to make the trip down here to the dike on my own. And I always like to come out here as I am right now to tell the folks what's happening out here and give them a kind of a weather report and such. But anyway, with all that said, I'm on the mend. I'm driving again, so watch out if you see me on the road.
Yeah, phone and honey, get the kids off the street.
Hey man, if you don't like the way I drive, get off the sidewalk right now.
Move
I think.
Over.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm back. I'm out here on the dike at the very end right now, and my goodness, is it a beautiful morning, Mickey.
Yes.
I mean, no wind. I mean, it's slick as glass all the way down from Boys One Stop here to the big boat ramp at the very end, and got a handful of people fishing out here, some with lights and generators, and some are piled up out at the end. I think there's another Bull Red tournament this weekend. They got about a couple hundred rods stuffed off in the rod holders, it seems. I'm sure it's not that many, but it looks like that many. And I think they'll kick off their little one-day tournament, I think, here in the next couple of hours.
What's their but go-to bait on that? They use crack crab or they use mullet?
It's crab and mullet and probably even the ones that fish with pinfish. You know, Mickey, you know as much or more than anybody else, this water is still hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, and with that, there's no shortage of bait fish. And with that, they'll pick a crab clean in a matter of minutes.
Yeah.
So the crab is probably the favorite bait, and I think the Bull Reds won't argue with that. But when it's like this and we haven't had any cold weather, who knows, man? I would probably
bottom feeders. They'll eat all the meat out of those crab shells before a Bull Red can find it.
You got that right. So a lot of folks are probably
like
fishing with. Yeah. You and me, brother.
I love blue crab, man. That's one of my favorites of all time.
Well, they're here, I'll tell you. But anyway, I think a live finger mullet probably, or even a small croaker if you catch one in a cast net. But they're out here. They're going to have a good time today, and I'm sure there'll be some Bull Reds caught. It'll be fun. They don't have a south wind blowing in their face 35 mile an hour with a cold front heading down. We just don't have it. I miss them. Good grief. All right. I was hoping for cooler weather. But we'll probably maybe get a little bit of it all in one bunch. I don't know what you see, but here it is fast approaching the first part of November, and we haven't had anything to speak of. But that's the way it is. We'll deal with it and keep on going. But I think there'll be some fish caught this morning. I got out when I started feeling better a couple of days ago and made my way out here to the end, and I walked a couple of the wooden piers and come around by the backside of the big boat ramp at the end and caught a couple of small flounder, nothing to write home about. But there's a few of them out here. There always is, of course, but there's a few of them moving. And I think no matter what, at least I hope so, no matter what happens to the water temperature, those flounder will have to head out in a little bit and do their thing on spawning. I hope that, I hope it's a good year for them, and build that flounder population back up where they'll let us catch and keep a couple again all year long. But we'll see how all that pans out. But looks like a good day. There has been some Bull Reds caught. I'm watching some fellas out here right now fishing under a light, and one gent pulled in a big old long-billed fish, gutless fish, whatever you want to call it, silver eel. And it wasn't long.
Yeah, ribbon fish.
Yeah, ribbon fish, all those names they've got for it. It wasn't long enough.
Well, the proper name's a cutlass fish, but all of us rednecks call them ribbon fish.
I think that's how this redneck grew up calling them. We called them ribbon fish. And some of them get pretty long. This one was nice and shiny. I remember one morning I couldn't sleep working shift work. I was off, and I was stuck between evenings and graveyards, and I was up all night. So I piled up and headed out here to the dike, and I sat around this little old cove that sits at the base of the dike, and I was fishing underneath a light, and I just had a couple little old small silver spoons, and I was tossing them out there, and probably darn if I didn't hang a a ribbon fish, and then the next one was a ribbon fish. The next one, I just catching the heck out of them, you know, and flipping them, putting them back. And I saw a couple of those skimmers, some old black skimmer birds, you know, that put their beak down in the water. It was slick as glass. It was slick just like this morning. And I was watching them, and as they were coming down up underneath that light, just about the time they jerked up real high, these ribbon fish was jumping out of the water, Mickey, and trying to catch. They saw that movement of them ribbon fish, and they were having to dodge them silver eels from snatching on to them. But it was a sight to see. It was really something. Them old birds just in time could raise up real quick and miss getting bit by those ribbon fish. But it was a cool shot,
man.
But you mentioned crabs a while ago, and Jason messaged me about midnight last night and said that he had a whole bunch of number ones, and they said, man, they're heavy crabs too. They're big. He said, let's barbecue them. And that's what we call it. We put barbecue seasoning on them at the grill and then fry them to a crisp. And folks really like them. He said, well, let's do some of them Whoppos. So they're going to pick out a bunch of those big fat number ones and do their thing with them, clean them and season them up, and then fry them today from 11 to however long, 8 o'clock tonight, or as long as they've got them. But he said, yeah, it sounded like he had a bunch, and I think they have quite a few number twos as well. So, hey, man, I think
up at Blue Crab, that's what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks. A couple of buddies of mine, we do it every year in the fall. We run our crab traps together, and you would not believe. I'll text you a photo of some of the ones I've been catching. I mean, they're all 8 to 10, 11 inches. And we're not catching as many as we did last year, but they're all big, big blues, you know, big males.
Good grief. Those are.
Yeah. I mean.
Monsters.
We hadn't caught any females, maybe one or two every time we run our traps. But, man, crab quality is nice this year.
That is some big crabs point to point. I'll tell you, them some big crabs. But I'm glad to hear that.
It's like 8 inches.
Yeah, just about anything over a solid 6 is a real nice crab.
Is that what you'd call a number one if they're over 6 inches?
Yeah, that's what I call them. Everybody over the years.
I'm on them right now.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because I was thinking about you. I know that y'all tried to get out and run them. I'd been talking to you, and you hadn't got them out yet when I was hanging up, you know, talking with you last month.
Yeah.
But it's been a pretty good year for crabs. I think it'll only get better. And then when things start getting really cold, it usually means that northers are blowing, and it's blowing the water out so far that a lot of the crabbers can't even get to their traps that put them up into the marsh and such. But they have to start hauling them in and bringing them out into deeper water. But
Everything I'm catching right now, these big ones are coming from about 6 to 9 feet of water.
Yeah.
Off a ledge, well, you know.
That's good. That's good to hear. I'm always glad to see them big old crabs, and they get so they get really fresh when the water starts getting cooler. It's just like how the speckled trout start looking and everything. Just get iridescent and just clean looking. Even the bottoms of them
are real clean and white, man. No mud or anything on them, and man, they're just so full of meat. I mean, and the claws are full. I mean, it's very good. We've been having
now,
a good time.
Now, How do you keep them when you get them in?
We're doing 3-day soaks. You know, we run them every 3 days. That way we'll have plenty of them to mess with. But we cook them right then. We just call everybody and say, hey, we got a good mess of crab. Y'all come eat them. We're going to boil them up for you.
You can't beat that.
We all sit down and crack crab together, brother.
Yeah. It's better to do it that way and have fun and have some either adult beverages or some Kool-Aid or whatever you want to drink and just sit and enjoy them right then, and they'll never taste better than they do then.
That's it. I've tried every way there is to. You got to cook them right after you clean them. You got to do it.
Yeah.
Crabs decompose so quick.
That's right. The only other way is you go ahead and boil them up and then pick them out and put them in containers and freeze them as far as in pieces and claws. And ain't nothing wrong with that, but you just ain't going to be smacking them and getting that meat out right there. And good stuff, Mickey. Man, we could talk and eat it them is. Things all day long.
Well, anybody's crab hungry, they better run down to Boys and get some barbecued crab.
Yeah, well, you know, if you ain't had them and you're not too far away, it's a heck of a thing to have to drive a long way to get to them. But it's a seasoning that we've used. And years ago, I used to go to Sartin's over there in the Golden Triangle and just enjoy those barbecue crabs. And they had a good twist on them on the way they cooked them. So when I mentioned to Jason some years back, I said, hey, man, you need to try these. And he said, well, let's do a batch. Can you get the spice? I said, yeah, I can get it. And so it's just been over the last several years, crabs have been kind of hit and miss. But here lately, it's been really good. So they're going
to
fire up.
Remember who makes that seasoning? You can. I ordered online. I always keep a couple of jars around the house. It's good to see other things with too. Does Texas or somebody like that makes it?
It ain't no big secret. It's actually it's Fiesta brand.
That's it, Fiesta. Mm-hmm. That is it. Yep. That's the stuff, and it tastes just like Sartin's
crab seasoning. Yes, good stuff. And there's different ways to make it stick. Some people actually paint a little bit of Italian dressing or something onto them, and then sprinkle that seasoning on. But you don't even need to do that. If you bust the shell off of a big old blue crab and rinse it off and cut the little lung tissue off, and then sprinkle that barbecue crab. When you think you got enough on it, put some more on it.
Put more on it. The more the merrier. Yeah. Get after it. Be real liberal with it.
Yeah, but anyway, it's good stuff. If folks get a chance, come out there to the Cajun Grill today, 227 Dyke Road. And then if you're wanting to fish, man, Boys has got some beautiful live shrimp in different sizes to suit you. There's some big ones in those tanks, and then there's some mediums, and I didn't see any smalls, but there's some good live bait. There's finger mullet, all kind of dead stuff, and Boys is there just waiting to serve folks, and it's going to be a beautiful day.
Yes, it is. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood today, baby.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, throw out that number. What is it, 409-945-4001?
That's it. 4-0-1. You got it, man. You've been for a few years. You've been backing us up mighty fine, and we thank you.
Hey, nothing like it, buddy. I wouldn't do it for anybody else. But, hey, it's good hearing your voice again, and I already got a couple of texts in saying it's good to hear Dave again. So your old fans, they're liking the report from the dike.
Tell them the check's in the mail. It may be hot, but I'm going to be right in the mouth.
That's
thank
it.
You, Mickey.
Send them out,
thank
brother.
You.
Hey, thank you, Dave. You have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Dave Fremont down at Boyd's One Stop in the Texas City Dikes. Good. He's back normal again, which is awesome. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. And go by their meat market, check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. Try it before you buy it. Full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. That's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with smoked pulled pork and homemade hot dogs. Plus, they have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all of their pecan smoked sausage blends. And Original Country hot dogs, you can buy two packs of those and get the third pack free. And if you're looking to have, you know, half or a quarter calf process, that's available for pre-order and custom processing also. And their wild game processing, just in time for deer season, they have a new sausage recipe available. You got to try it. Get your deer tamales, your venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. And they're now taking orders for their country smoked turkeys. Thanksgiving right around the corner. 11 to 13-pound average weight birds. Limited supply, so get them while you can. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment already. Amazing how time flies. All right, let's go down G-Town way and let's check in with our good friend Captain Steve Hillman. Stevie, what's up?
Good morning.
Hey, man.
Sorry. Jace told me it'd be a couple of minutes. I was like 30 seconds. I have my mouth full.
He was spot on because you've been on hold for 2.9 minutes.
Really? Well, I was talking to him. I was talking to him for probably a minute and a half of that about fantasy football. He plays fantasy football.
There
too.
You go.
We both made some bad moves last night with our teams. Oh, man.
Well,
on the road.
On the road.
A little shorter run. I'm fishing here today.
Well, that's good.
Matagorda yesterday. No. Fished Galveston Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Matagorda yesterday, and then here today, and then off tomorrow, thank God. I think I'm going to rename my business Every Other Day Guide Service. That's about when we catch them. So, it's been back and forth. It's been hit or miss for me this week, man.
Well, it's same for a lot of folks hear the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's just not
one day chicken, next day feathers, you know. That's
it. There's so many variables that go into it. We talk about it all the time. Wind speed, wind
so
direction,
warm, you know, and
yeah,
different winds and
yeah, like, that's what got me. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just too damn hot. But I mean, we're still doing pretty good. But on Monday, I had Todd Obermeyer and his daddy in from Michigan, and we've always had good trips every year when his daddy comes in. And man, we pretty much got our bad one in on Monday. I put in on the wrong side of the bay. The forecast was east at 10, and when I put in, it was blowing about 12 by our first or second drift. It was blowing 16 knots out of the northeast, and it totally destroyed my plan. And I actually pulled the boat out of the water and went to another ramp and tried to do something else. Got us in somewhat protected water, but I think we caught like 25 trout. We had 4 legal fish. It was horrible. Then we had some undersized flounder and stuff, but nothing would eat. I mean, I hit some areas where I'd been catching some really good fish, and you know, when it warms up like this, man, I know those bigger fish are still there, but I guess the little ones eat or something. The bigger ones don't have that sense of urgency to feed or something. I don't know, but
true.
But that was the only really bad day I had. But and then Tuesday, I fished here and we did okay. I had 3 guys and it was just steady. We drifted shell ledges. I'm still oyster shell. Just draw. All kinds of drop-offs, finger reefs, any kind of depth changes I can find. And we started out kind of slow, I think. Then one of the guys popped a couple and a couple of casts, and it just kind of got going, and we caught, ended up catching 18 real nice trout. And about, not a lot of throwbacks Tuesday, maybe only 10 or 11 throwbacks. But so Tuesday wasn't bad. Then we went red fishing. And couldn't find a red. Caught more trout, but I can't catch a redfish right now. And then that was Tuesday. And Wednesday I had Craig Wilson and his girlfriend Melissa, and it's her birthday. And every year on her birthday, she likes to work those open water schools of reds.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done real well the last 2 years, man, like clockwork.
Sure.
And I was excited because I've been seeing some of them. I messed with them a little bit, but you know, we don't fool with them. I don't fool with them that much. But I knew where they were, and we shot across the bay. And there was a little bit of wind early. Then it died down, but we couldn't find any. We found one open water school, and it was tiny, and it was skittish, and we never could catch up to it. And so we ended up in your neck of the woods, way up in there.
All the way.
Just working those stupid birds, just something to do. and catching just pencil after pencil after pencil. Now, we did hit some areas on the shoreline before that, and we caught some trout that were, like, right under 15. And then I did catch a 27.5-inch red, just a fluke.
Yeah.
And we went back out in the middle, couldn't find any reds, and worked those birds. I don't know how many trout we caught. It was an ungodly number of baby trout we caught. But the crazy thing is, Melissa wanted a redfish, and she's reeling in about a 14.5-inch trout, gets to the side of the boat, and about a 35-inch red eats it. Doesn't go after it. It eats it. And now she's fighting this red. And, of course, it didn't get hooked because it, you know, for obvious right. reasons. And then she gets the trout back, and it's just, it's DOA, man. It's just,
plucked
gills
chicken.
Are all flared. All the scales are
I bet there wasn't a scale left on that trout, man.
Oh, man, it was like eating corn on the cob. You just get the cob back. And then we saw some more reds, and she finally hooked a big red, and I guess it swallowed her jig, and because I had a brand new fluorocarbon leader on there, and it just clean break, man, cut it. You know, those big ones have teeth.
Oh, those big ones, those bottom teeth, they just saw it, too. You got to use heavy leader on those bulls.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because of the toothy factor on those bottom lips, you know.
Right. But no, that was we fished a long time. We fished about 2 o'clock on that day, Wednesday, I guess it was. And I don't know. I mean, they had a good time. We caught a ton of fish, but I didn't put her on the reds that I wanted to get her on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
kindergartners and preschoolers out there, buddy. We got it.
I hit wells. I hit all the
it's
stuff.
Everywhere you hit. I mean, it's, you know, 12 to 15 inches. Just, hey.
Oh, my God. Hey, we pulled up to one little well that I used to love to fish. I honestly haven't fished it in probably 5 or 6 years. And, God, it used to be so good. And we pull up to it, and I catch one first cast. I catch another one. I catch another one. I mean, like every cast.
Right.
And they're all either little specks or sand trout. Nothing Clones. Even thought about being a keeper.
Nope.
Oh, and then we had some bonus gaff top. But anyway, Wednesday it was a beautiful day, but it wasn't. It sucked. And then yesterday I went back down to Matagorda and had a good crew, and we jumped out. And I had Jody Moses and his customer, Mike. And we jumped out our first spot where I'd been catching a few fish on top. And I could tell, man, we pulled up, and I slipped the anchor over. I should have gotten there in the dark, honestly. But when we slipped the anchor over, man, there was bait jumping everywhere. It was real active. There was even a group of birds up against the shoreline, probably a little school of reds or something. And by the time we got in the water, which wasn't but, you know, 8-10 minutes later, the bait had gone down. I mean, it happened that fast. Everything went down. And, of course, we waded towards where we saw everything and just scattered. Just a flat, basically, with just scattered shell.
Yeah.
And about thigh deep water. And I started throwing that little sheepup, that chrome and hot pink sheepup. And I had my doubts about it because that's kind of a loud bait. And there was not a breath of wind. And I didn't get any swirls, no blubs, nothing. So I switched over to a little Spook Junior. And they started hitting it, and then I had Jody and Mike. I put a baby skitter walk on Mike, and top dog, you know, a regular top dog on Jody, the black back, silver side, white belly. What's that? 18? I think that's 18.
Yeah.
But anyway, and you know that bait's not a real small profile bait, but it's got a soft pitch, and. Man, he was getting some massive blow-ups. If we had a fish for every blow-up between three of us, we'd have caught 40. But instead, we caught 8. We caught 8 trout. A couple of them were over 20. All solid fish, you know. Only one throwback. And then 8 trout were like 18 to 22. And then you just couldn't milk it for anything else. I think Jody caught one more on a tail. He did. And I stayed there way too long. and then we went and jumped out a few other areas and drifted some areas and scraped up another 10 or 11 fish. It wasn't great. I think we ended up 18 legal fish and a few throwbacks, and went red fishing, couldn't catch any reds. Same old deal. And the reds, we had reds swimming under the boat, man. You could see them. And like groups of two and three, and they were slot reds. Matter of fact, I had one follow me in all the way to the boat. And we caught a few little sand trout, and we had redfish following the sand trout in. It's just crazy how we're on red. I'm on some reds right now, but can't get them to eat. And I mean, I threw
probably too much
bait
for them to eat, man. All the sand trout and little specks and everything they're feeding on, mullet, shrimp, everything.
No, it's just, it's so bizarre, but it's just, it's warm, man. It's hot. And that is everything. Jody did catch a real good trout yesterday. He caught one a little over 27 inches. So that was a highlight of our morning, but, caught it on a chartreuse silver glitter bass assassin, but that was a real good fish. It weighed right at 6.5 pounds. It looked bigger than that.
Yeah.
But it looked real big when he landed it. But, I mean, that's still a damn good fish.
Yeah, it is. But, well, and that fish, another 2 months from now, that fish will weigh a lot more.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, it had some girth on it. It just didn't. Mm-hmm. Unless my bug is off. But I don't. There's no way my bug is off. But you know, I started to tag that fish. You know, I tagged some trout for old Chris McKinley there at trout tag in Texas, and I started to tag it, Mickey, but the water temperature is back up to almost 78. He fought that fish for a minute, and I didn't want to stress that fish out anymore.
Right.
It probably would have been fine, but I just I don't know. I probably should have tagged it, but I tagged one here in Galveston last week, but that water's just so daggum hot. It started out when we jumped out our first spot, it was 75.5, and I think the highest I saw was like 78.5, and it's almost November.
Yeah.
It's just insane. But yeah, everything on tail, except for the topwater bite early, everything else was on slamming chicken and then chartreuse silver glitter. I honestly don't think color mattered yesterday. I think you just had to get it in front of the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
But and the water was a good, like a sandy green color. Some areas it was kind of clear, but where we caught most of our fish, it was kind of foggy. And which is perfect. It was perfect because you could trick some nicer fish. Then we ended up with four or five fish, you know, over 20 with that biggest one, the one that Jody caught. But,
well, that's good.
You know, I can't complain, man. It's just, but it's back and forth. It's not as good as it will be if we start getting some fronts.
Yes.
If we do. I didn't see any fronts on the horizon. Are there any?
We just need that. No, and there's not any. The extended forecast is warm and dry.
Man, good call, brother.
Yeah, it is. I guess so. No card pass only in this weather.
No.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, if somebody wants to get with you and take them on a fishing trip, how do they get a hold of you, Steve?
All right, man, 409-256-7937.
All right, buddy. Well, good luck today. Wish you the best. Catch them up.
I'm going to need it. I got a family deal today. All right, man.
All right, buddy. Get spinners out and get with it. All right.
I already got them loaded. All right. Thank you.
Got your bait buckets?
Oh, he wanted to bring a bait bucket, but I wouldn't let him.
Not with you. All right, brother. Steve, have a good one. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Later. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. But guess what? We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.